I'm proud that my conservative record has won this.
Well, that's kind of metaphoric, is it not? That we lose Trey Grayson in the middle of a soundbite when he seems to be losing ground politically in Kentucky. Mitch McConnell endorsed Trey Grayson. He was kind of the establishment choice in Kentucky. And meanwhile, upstart Dr. Rand Paul gets into the GOP primary and shakes it up, shakes it to its core. Now, why is this happening? What's going on with the picks by the elites across the United States? Why are people, I think, just repelling the efforts of the old guard across the board? Joining us now, the aforementioned Dr. Rand Paul, eye surgeon and candidate for the U.S. Senate. Jim Bunning's seat, of course, open because he was, no, was he forced to retire? That's what everybody says. Dr. Paul, good to have you with us. How are you?
Glad to be with you, Laura.
Well, you know, they all came in to campaign for Grayson. We had the endorsement by Dick Cheney. We had Mitch McConnell do the ad. We had Rick Santorum, Rudy Giuliani. And meanwhile, you got into this race, and now everybody's talking about you, and it looks like you're right now in the lead.
Well, it's, you know, people ask me if I'm surprised, and I say, no, I'm astounded. And I think it's amazing strength of the Tea Party movement. I've been a part of it since the very beginning. And about a year ago, on April 15th, I went down to the square in my little town, and my kid was playing baseball, and I was the coach. And I said, I'll take a few minutes away from the game, and I'll go down here, and I'll bet you 20 people show up. And I got to the square, and 700 people were there for a Tea Party, the first Tea Party in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I said, something big is going on. And it has grown like wildfire, and it truly is a spontaneous movement. Everywhere I go, I ask, has anybody been to Washington? And several people in every crowd will have been all the way to Washington to a Tea Party.
So you are supported by this grassroots movement that is, without a doubt, Dr. Paul, fed up with people who are returned to power election after election, and frankly, bring home few results for conservatives across this country or for the American people, whether it's on border enforcement or spending limits or tax reduction. And people are fed up. And I think it's almost a negative now for top leadership in the Republican Party to go into a race and endorse a candidate. If I'm a candidate running for Congress out there, I don't want any part of any of the Republicans on Capitol Hill endorsing me. I just don't want it. I want to be the independent kind of upstart figure who's championing the people.
Well, it's the sort of same dynamic as happened in Florida, you know, when the National Senate Committee went in and endorsed Charlie Crist. They got a little smarter after that. They didn't actually endorse in our race, but most of them gave money to my opponent. Most of them held fundraisers. But it was kind of interesting when they held a fundraiser in Washington, it was a lot of the people who voted for the bank bailout. And so my grassroots supporters did an online fundraising money bomb, and they called the other ball in Washington, they called it the bank bailout ball. And we raised $175,000 online in one day. That's something that was not even organized by the campaign.
How much of your support is coming from out of state?
Well, the interesting thing is my opponent tries to harp on that, but we have more donors in-state than he does. We still have a considerable following out of state as well. But, you know, the interesting thing is most senators that have ever been elected in Kentucky also get considerable fundraising. Senator McConnell's raised over half of his $20 million last time out of state. So I think it shows that we have a national presence, which is a good idea because we bring a national voice that will represent Kentucky on the national stage.
I want to talk to you about your experience in the medical world as an eye surgeon and ophthalmologist. You've seen a lot, and you have experienced what it's like to be a businessman and a doctor at the same time. What can we expect with the new wild and wonderful world of Obamacare as law?
I think ultimately you're going to see a shortage of doctors, and I think you'll ultimately see lines for people to get into doctors. What will happen is that family doctors that are popular will begin limiting how many Medicare patients they see. it's already coming. It's already there in many cities. The popular doctors are hard to get into because they're limiting how many Medicare patients they see, and it will only get worse. Now, what I've told people is that the biggest thing and the hardest thing for us out here in the heartland to understand is we don't understand how a $1 trillion bill is not going to add to the deficit. We just cannot compute that math, and we don't believe it, frankly. They tell us, oh, Congressional Budget Office has scored this thing. But you know what? They also scored the Medicare prescription drug plan. They scored it at right. $400 billion, and it turned into $1 trillion. So we just don't believe them.
Well, Dr. Paul, hey, we're on a really bad connection. I hate to do this to you, but do you think you might be able to call back on a better connection? Because I want to make sure we hear everything you have to say. And I think there's some weird thing going on with the reception. So we're going to try to reconnect with Dr. Rand Paul. He'll be back in just a minute, just because I think it'll sound better and be more compelling for people to listen to. But here's what we need to remember. Republicans today on Capitol Hill, there are people who have worked hard for conservatism, no doubt, and there are different styles of leadership. That's a given, and that's fine. I understand that. And Mitch McConnell is a very smart guy. He's a devoted conservative. I'm not in any way questioning that. He has done great work in fighting against this obscene campaign finance regulation, which serves only to hinder the interests of conservatism nationwide by limiting the number of dollars individuals and groups can spend, right? So he's out there and he's doing some good stuff, but going into a race like this and standing with another establishment candidate, given what we're seeing across the United States with this movement, this grassroots America movement, I call it the America movement, not the Tea Party movement. I think you're missing something. I don't know if Mitch McConnell would get reelected if he were up in November. A good friend of mine in Kentucky and Stephen said, I don't think McConnell would get reelected. People are beginning to ask, show me the results. What have you accomplished, let's say, in the past 6 years? He's back. Dr. Paul, you back? You good?
Yes. Sounds better.
All right. Much better. I want to talk about what the other side has said about you. Now, they're saying that, look, you know, Rand Paul and the Pauliacs or the, what do they call your dad's people? The Paul... Ronulans, that you guys are, you know, you're interesting and you're committed conservatives on the fiscal issues, but on the social issues, you know, you're just totally MIA, and that's not really what's going to bring the country together when it comes to growing the conservative movement. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'd say, first of all, don't believe anything my opponent says, but no, I'm socially conservative. I'm pro-life. I've been endorsed by the Northern Kentucky Right to Life, the Pro-Life Concerned Women of America. So I think I'm very mainstream socially conservative, and as well as being fiscally conservative. So I fit right into the mold. Where I'm different is that I don't believe the Republican Party believes in bailing out private business, much less owning private business. So I have chastised the Republicans who voted for the bank bailout because I think it's inconsistent with the Republican platform. I think it's also part of what got rid of Senator Bennett out in Utah is his vote for the bank bailout, and he continues to justify it.
Well, and I think a lot of people forget, right, that your opponent used to be a Dem, right?
Right. He was a Bill Clinton supporter, a Democrat, and during the campaign, it was kind of funny.
Hilarious.
During the campaign, he said, oh, Rand Paul's not really a Kentuckian. So my response to him was, look, I've been a Kentuckian longer than you've been a Republican. So we didn't hear much more from him after that.
Oh, my goodness. Now, where are you and your dad different on issues? Where do you guys divide?
We agree on the sense that we believe in limited constitutional government. We disagree on, you know, where we should try the people at Guantanamo Bay. I think they should be tried in military tribunals down there. And I think it's hard to, you know, read Miranda rights to people captured in the battlefield. And I fear, you know, releasing somebody like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, you know, if you were tried in civilian court. And I actually think that's not a done deal yet. You know, New York is now refusing it. And I think ultimately he still might be tried back down in Guantanamo.
Are you a Duke fan or a Kentucky fan? That's the question. I'm going to nail you on that question.
Yeah, you know, Laura, that's the one thing I cannot tell you. I can't discuss basketball. I can't win the race.
I know. It's like you go to Duke Medical School, and now you don't mess with Kentucky basketball fans. I happen to know a lot of them, okay, Dr. Paul? And they are rabid.
My answer is I'm a Hilltopper fan. I live in Bowling Green, and Western Kentucky University is here, so I'll stick with being a Hilltopper fan.
All right. Well, any predictions for what's going to happen nationally? Not your race, but nationally come November.
Well, I think it's going to be big. I think our race becomes national because I think we win on Tuesday and it becomes the biggest victory for a Tea Party candidate in the country. I think in November, the Tea Party flexes its muscle again. I'm going to work this summer to try to coalesce a Tea Party platform that includes things like term limits, a balanced budget amendment, Read the Bills Act, an Enumerated Powers Act, a waiting to pass bills. I propose we wait one day for every 20 pages. I think that'll slow them down a bit.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now that we know, Dr. Paul, that the health care reform is going to cost, what, $115 billion more than the CBO initially scored the bill for, a bill as? Now that we're getting the true facts in, I say this whole thing should be voted on again. Because now we're actually learning the truth, even though I'm sure you knew it and I knew it and most of my listeners knew it. Now the American people all can see what we have had predicted, the truth of it, now with health care and the fewer options we're going to have, all of the rest of it, redo the vote. Because I think the whole debate leading up to it was a lie.
Isn't it amazing that they have trouble understanding what's in the bill for weeks after it's passed? You know, they told us that. At first they thought, they said, oh, well, we exempted Congress, and everybody was mad. And then they said, oh, no, we didn't exempt them, but we are going to exempt them. They're confused on what's in their own bill.
No, it's just ridiculous. Dr. Rand Paul, a Kentuckian, also proud Duke Medical School graduate, 1988. You're a young man, 1988 graduate of Duke Medical School. And do you do the LASIK surgery, by the way?
Do you do that? Yes, I do.
Well, I got it done about 10 years ago. And I actually think it's pretty good. But if you start losing your reading vision, Dr. Paul, does that mean I'm going to have to wear the old lady glasses soon? Am I going to have to do that?
No.
No tweaking.
You're too young, Laura, to have to wear reading glasses. But I am old now, and I do have to wear reading glasses, and it infuriates me because I have always had great distance vision. But the thing about it is that I don't think there are some surgeries out there to restore near vision. I'm not a big fan of them, to tell you the truth. So I would, if you have to wear some readers, just in private, you sneak them off.
I know, it's humiliating. Dr. Rand Paul, I have to get a little medical advice while he's here. Come on. Dr. Paul, good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you, Laura.
All right, we're going to take a break. Stay with us.
The Laura Ingram Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
To find the best service, contractors, plumbers, roofers, doctors, and more, I highly recommend Angie's List. It's a word-of-mouth network of more than a million consumer real-life experiences.